Welcome to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac.
Man, I made it through the storm, as they say. It didn't last long, though. The storm won't last long. That's what they said. I'm not sure that's what they meant. But we made it. We made it just a little sprinkle, as they say, Reese. Just a little sprinkle.
I'm not sure what you were, but I mean, where I was, it was a lot more sprinkle. It was raining. It was coming down pretty good.
Come on now, them 5, 8, 12 inches, them 8 to 12 inches of rain, that shouldn't bother you at all.
That shouldn't bother me at all. That's a good point.
That shouldn't bother you at all.
Just a little sprinkle here and there, huh? Okay.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Oh, man. But top of the morning to you. You know, a couple of things that I guess a couple of things we was wrong about and a couple of things we were right about last night, K-Mac. One in particular, I guess the New Orleans Pelicans found out that maybe if you play Zion a little longer, it may have some different results at the end of the game.
Hello? Hello? Is this on? Yes. Play Zion. Yeah, well, who knew? Who knew that was a recipe for success? Play Zion more.
The guy was young enough where he could run all day. And you know, he played 25 minutes as they defeated the Memphis Grizzlies last night. We're talking about the New Orleans Pelicans defeating the Memphis Grizzlies.
Ja Morant.
Who had a terrible game. Mm-hmm. They defeated Ja Morant and the Grizzlies 108 to 98. And Zion had 20. He played 25 minutes, by the way. 23 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. And of course, Brandon Ingram, who's getting busy. He added 24 points on 31 minutes, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals.
He didn't hit it with the added.
Yeah. Walt Davis added 40. That's an inside joke. Sometimes, one time when Walt Davis played in NBA, Paul Westphal had 41, and they said Walt Davis added 40. How can you add 40? I still can't get over that. Anyway.
Well, you didn't have 41. You didn't have 41, so you had to add to it.
How can you add 40, though? It's like Walt Davis had 40 as well. You can't add 40. He just went 1 point less than 41. But anyway, as I digress. But what we learned other than the fact you pay Zion more minutes, outcomes may be different, Mac.
Right. I mean, clearly they're still out of sync, right? The team, if you watch the game, you can tell they still need, because they should have, it should have been 20 more points than that. Because Memphis played horribly.
And they played terrible, yeah.
Yeah, they played horribly. But the fact of the matter is, I think they really have, like we said the other day, I think that's a really talented team for New Orleans. They're just 1 year from being 1 year away. But they actually have to play together. You can just tell that they haven't played together at all. And they're all young enough in their careers where they can't just pick up and play with anybody. So they got a lot of work to do. But there's a lot of talent on the floor. It's a ton of talent on that floor. There's a lot of talent on that floor.
And to be fair, Memphis didn't play well. They have a lot of talent on that team, too, as well. Look at Jackson, of course, Ja Morant. And I like the Clark kid who played for Gonzaga. When he came in, he was getting busy, man. I like that kid. So, you know, you can see that those two teams probably be battling going forward. They're very, very young. Memphis has the New Orleans has the second youngest team in the NBA. So there's a lot of upside there. But, again, Zion showed where he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. We'll see how things go down in the next game. But they finally won their first game inside the bubble. Memphis is struggling. They have them on 8 seed right now, but they're 0-3 since the season started. So we have to see what happens with those guys, man. It's gonna be interesting. Now the other marquee game last night, I was wrong about. Well, I still say I'm not wrong. I'm not really feeling Anthony Davis, but he showed me when he wants to show up, he can get it done. The LA Lakers which was a pretty good game last night, defeated the Utah Jazz 116-108. Anthony Davis had 42, came back. Anthony Davis had 42 points. Only played almost the whole game. Played 39 minutes. 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals.
He contributed 42 points.
He contributed 42 points.
Contributed 42.
Added 42.
And we can say LeBron, he added 22 because it wasn't like it was 41. So he added 22 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists. I guess the Lakers finally played like they wanted to play some basketball last night, Mac.
Yeah, they did. They showed up and they played like they wanted to play, but LeBron is still old. Trust me. LeBron is still old. Every day. Breaking news out of Los Angeles, California this morning. The Los Angeles Lakers has now released a press release that says LeBron James' ass is still old.
It's amazing, man. I guess we get an update every day. Because yesterday
it's
he
same.
Was old.
It's the same update.
Yesterday he was old. Today he's still old.
He's still old. I'm looking for him to get in the hot tub time machine and work this out. It's not working, though. He gonna get an ice bath one day and come back out. He gonna be a different guy.
Old plus one.
Old plus one. I like that. I like that.
They was talking about how LeBron, you know, his personal trainer can't be with him, so he be doing Zoom sessions to stay in shape. Work out in a hotel, him and his wife. They do Zoom sessions and, you know, do things with FaceTime, try to keep the body right and try to stay in shape. LeBron James. What I'm talking about.
Reese, don't do it.
What's that?
Don't do it. Don't.
What, Mac?
All right. You know what you're looking at, but you don't want to admit it. See, you know you can see it. You're watching it unfold in front of your very eyes, but you don't want to admit it.
I can see it, Mac.
You know you can see it.
Okay, Mac. Okay. Maybe hold on. Let me get my glasses. Okay. All right. What I see, K-Mac. I want to make sure I don't miss it.
They are a step behind quality play. Who they play last night? Utah. They beat up on Utah. Utah. So Anthony Davis got the best of Rudy Gobert, and we're supposed to do cartwheels?
Well,
really?
Utah's not a bad basketball team. I think they're ranked number 4.
Anthony Davis got the best of Rudy Gobert. Come on.
Okay, I'm just trying to get a guy.
It's just me. It's just me. It's just okay. You're right. It's just me. I'll take it. It's just me. I'll stand on this hill alone.
I am still in the camp. I'm still in the camp there now. Hold up. I still got issues with Anthony Davis, but it's hard for me to be critical of anybody that drops 42.
Well, he did add 42. You're right. He did add 42.
I mean, it's like, you know, it's like saying, no, don't wear a mask, you'll be fine. I mean, it's got. I mean, I'm like, really? So, you know, Anyway. Again, tonight we got a couple good matchups coming up. And I love when the games are during the day. You can. You know, we finish the show, you know, go do the chores or whatever you have to do. Then, boom, the game's on right there. So, we got Giannis coming on at 1:30. The Milwaukee Bucks playing Brooklyn. Sacramento's playing Dallas. Yeah, Sacramento's terrible, man. Phoenix is playing the Clippers at 4. And Orlando is playing Indiana at 9. Now, they played last night. Did Indiana play last night as well? Cause I saw T.J. Warren drop 34 last night for the Pacers.
Yeah, they had a practice against Washington. They won 111-100. And you play Washington. Come on.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I'm with you on that one.
It's like Clemson playing anyone else.
Clemson playing Fordham. Who else? Yeah, who exactly. They beat up on? Yeah, somebody like that.
Yeah, Furman. Congrats, Furman.
Not to Furman. Not the Furman beat down.
Furman and What's that North State or Upstate? Is it a school called Upstate?
Yeah, it's a D2 school, like South Carolina Upstate.
Upstate, there you go. South Carolina Upstate. Yeah, like, yeah.
There you go. It's like Clemson playing that school.
Yeah. Well, hey, 137 players, including our managers, playing this game today.
Including our managers. He said including the managers.
Don't this one's not even high school when he played.
Don't leave. Try to get him in early. But the last two games of tonight, you got Boston and Miami. That'll be pretty good. And Houston is playing Portland, which is – Portland's a team to look out for. They may cause some problems, guys. But as we transition from basketball, man, hey, how about those Canes? How about those Canes? How about those Carolina Hurricanes? Are you serious, NHL? 2-0 leading the series over the New York Rangers came back. They win by one yesterday, 4-1. Andre Svechnikov had a hat trick, K-Mac.
My man. No, pretty sure. Everybody knows what a hat trick is.
Yep. We like him. We love him. Sebastian Aho also had three assists as well. And Canes play tonight at 8 o'clock. What do you think, Dennis, since you're an expert on the topic? You think the Canes are going to make it happen?
Oh, yeah. They're going to make it happen. They're completely in the Rangers' heads. They were trying to throw cheap shots after the game the Rangers were, and Canes just completely worked them in the third period.
I mean, when you got Svechnikov and Aho, those guys, man, when they're on, it's kind of tough. It's tough to beat the Canes, man.
It's hard to catch them.
They can sweep on the night, K-Mac, which is pretty awesome if you think about it.
Yeah, and they'll be able to rest up until probably Monday or Tuesday next week. Give about 5-6 days off.
Yep. That could be good, but it could be bad. Now, wait a minute. Hold up. But they can't do nothing. They just stay inside the bubble, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah, so that's cool.
The bubble works, tonight, man.
Yeah.
The bubble
the game
works.
Tonight is 8 p.m. And is that going to be on the fan as well? Or
that will be over on 99.9 The Fan. Yes. Pre-game coverage starts at 7:30 on The Fan, 8 o'clock puck drop.
Okay. Puck drop. Well, that's what's up.
Zion Williamson, 11 points in 10 minutes in the first half. A hard drive, gets underneath, lays it in, lost the sneaker as he went across the baseline.
It didn't blow out. It just came off.
Yeah.
If you don't tie up them damn shoes, I am going to lose my mind.
So he didn't have a blowout, but he lost a wheel, though. It wasn't a blowout.
I said, boy.
Wheel just came off.
You know what? Trying to be all cool. You ain't trying to play hard. You ain't tie your shoes up.
See, I don't understand why they don't do that. What's the big deal? Tie your damn shoes up. A lot of them be playing that way. I guess it ain't cool to have your shoes tied up. I don't know. Maybe somebody need to educate me, K-Mac. Maybe I'm too old school when it comes to tying your shoes up like that.
I'm going to run your ass till your shoes come off for real. Then I wanted to worry about it. I bet you remember next time.
Oh, yeah, I just thought that was kind of strange. They always come off. Anyway, welcome to the Sports Shop. D.R. Reach came at D.C. in the studio, producer of the show, and we are getting it in, having a great time. But that was some scenes with Zion Williamson, who had a little – he didn't have a blowout. He just had a little – just lost his wheel just a little bit, you know. But I tell you, it is good for the NBA to have Zion there. It does require a lot of attention when he plays, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So.
And you can join the conversation again, 919-890-6200. We're rocking on this unbelievable Tuesday here on the Sports Shop. Typically, we do this a little later, but we moved it up just a little bit today. She's the CEO, she's the architect, she is the designer and developer of the Carolina Bliss. Game on, game over. Vashti Hurt. Good morning, Vashti. How you doing?
Hey, guys.
What's up, Vashti?
You're talking about tying your shoes, because I was just telling my mom the other day, I was like, why are your shoes tied so tight? I mean, let your feet breathe.
Oh, see, Dahlia's. Dahlia's.
See, I bet she... Bet she don't roll her ankle. I bet she don't roll her ankle.
I bet she doesn't, but I bet her foot can't breathe either.
Well, wait a minute. You want your – okay. Okay, maybe if you're just wearing casual shoes, but if you're playing basketball, You know, you want to have your sneakers tied up tight so you won't twist your ankle. I don't understand why they wear low cut sneakers anyway playing basketball.
Is
that old school? Nobody.
Is that old school?
You done got them started on
low cut.
I'm gonna
tell you what, pulling those laces tight is definitely old school. That is a mess.
Are you serious, Vesta?
I am serious. I do not tie my laces very tight. Number one, it's not the business, but it's just, it looks bad, and then it's not comfortable.
Okay, hold on. So maybe we're not all on the same page here. Hold on, wait a minute.
No, we're not.
Are you talking about tying it tight to where the actual two sides of the shoe meet in the middle? Or you just said it just looks tight on the foot? Because there's a difference. Because if you tie them that tight, that means they're too big for you. So.
Right.
Both. So even if I'm working out or something, I do not, my laces aren't all, they are not tight. That's just not something that I can remember. I've never tied my shoes tight. I will always, when I buy sneakers, I loosen the laces just so aesthetically it looks better. And
you ain't working hard. You ain't working hard enough. You ain't working hard enough. You ain't working hard enough.
Mm-hmm. You trying to look cute, mm-hmm. working out? What's going on?
Uh-huh.
She ain't
working.
What's going
she ain't
on?
Working.
I ain't working out, K-Mac.
She ain't working.
If you look good, you play good. Yes or no?
No.
I know I've heard you guys say that before. Yes, I've heard you guys say that.
But see,
I said you look good, you feel good.
That's going to be.
You feel good, you play good.
Yeah, that's going to be a poll question one day. Because that's got to be generational. Because K-Mac, okay, call me OG or whatever old, but I'm used to, if you're playing basketball or any kind of sport, you got to tie your sneakers up because you'll be more susceptible to an ankle roll or injury or whatever like that way, as opposed to trying to be cute and look good for the fans and have your laces open and things of that nature. Are you kidding me? Is that what we're doing?
Got your foot sliding around all inside the sneaker, all over the place. The purpose of the sneaker is to secure the foot.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Y'all sound like some real old heads right
Phil
now.
Phil Ford is turning over in his bed right now because he hates to see a player with those low-cut sneakers on. Then they complain about their ankles are being twisted all the time or sprung or whatever. Okay? Has something to do with that.
All right.
Okay.
Let's go. All right, guys. Teddy Bridgewater, he spoke with us yesterday. It's his first time speaking with the media since the beginning of training camp. Now, while Carolina fans are still having a hard time adjusting to life without Cam Newton, when asked if he feels like the Panthers are already his team, the new QB in town did not hesitate when answering. I have a clip.
Yeah, it definitely does. And I credit that to Mr. Tepper, Marty, Coach Rule, and the coaching staff here. They've made this transition a smooth one. And they told me from the jump that, hey, this is your team, and the guys will go as I go. And, just being around the guys a couple of days already, you see them feeding off my energy, and I'm feeding off their energy. So it definitely feels like my team.
All right, guys, game on or game over that after just a couple of days of camp, the Panthers are already Teddy's team.
I mean, who else team they going to be?
You have a most guy, of the guy most of the, that had 1,000 last year.
It won't be his team. He's not the quarterback. It's not going to be his team. So it's going to be his team until he proves otherwise. So,
well,
thanks for stating the obvious that, Teddy, but I appreciate that.
Game on. I say game on, Vestai, but we one caveat, though. One. Today is August the 4th. If the season starts, we assume it will. Sometime late September, early October.
September.
It's going to be a problem.
First time.
I don't feel reassured that Teddy Bridgewater is going to end up being a guy for the Carolina Panthers. That's just me now. I'm just saying.
Whoa.
I don't feel
whoa,
that.
Whoa, whoa. Wait a minute. When you say not end up being a guy, what do you mean? This season or just
moving forward in the future? This season, K-Mac. This season. That
whoa.
Right, this season right
now. Oh, my goodness.
Come I said on. It. April
who's
4th,
it going to be?
August 4th, April 4th. August 4th, I said it. Huh?
Who's it going to be?
You got a lot of people who think it may be P.J. Walker's team.
I'm what? Trying to tell you. I'm telling you.
I don't care what Teddy Bridgewater. I don't care what Teddy Bridgewater can say. After 2 days of practice, coming off losing Cam Newton, who was your best player in franchise history, whether mm-hmm. David Tepper or Marty Herney tells you it's this team, it's the players who decide whose team it is because they follow the leadership of whose team it is. And after
great
two
point.
Days of practice, it is not Teddy Bridgewater's team yet. They don't know him. They aren't familiar with him yet. And, you know, I get the confidence, and he has a lot of confidence. But, you know, give it at least 2 weeks before you start saying, oh, definitely, it's my team. Like, nah, son.
Best,
you had Christian
you
McCaffrey.
You're right about that one.
You had Christian
Best
McCaffrey.
Now, son. Hold up, shorty.
I know. I mean, I'm just saying.
You
got to
give it 2 weeks.
Relax. It could eventually be your team. And as a quarterback, you know, oftentimes you kind of walk up into that role. But y'all haven't even put the pads on yet. You haven't even had your head rocked yet. Come on, man. 2 days.
Hold up, son.
Your team.
Hey, man, when they go son on you, you better pay attention.
Best time, bro.
Pay attention, lad.
Nah, son.
Best time. I ain't heard you that emotional in a long time. You just went off that time, seriously.
See, it's rules to the game. Vashti, she always pretend like she don't. Vashti know all the rules to the game. Vashti yeah. know he just crossed one of the rules of the game. That's why she's mad. That's why she's emotional. She's like, what? What'd you say?
Give it some time, Brad. Like, that's it. That's all I have to say. Like, could this be Teddy's team? It could possibly be, but 2 days of practice? Nah, I'm sorry.
Somebody has to step up, Vashti. Someone has to step up. The only person that's still there is Christian McCaffrey. Everyone else is gone. I mean, most
no,
of the veterans are gone from
KK
this team.
You have KK Short. He's
oh, man, that's
injury.
On the other side. That's on the other side. That's on the defensive side. Come on.
I get
offensive
you right.
Side.
But as of offensively right now, people are going to look to Christian McCaffrey.
I agree 100%.
Teddy Bridgewater has to prove himself
okay.
first.
All right, that's fair. That's fair.
I mean,
okay, that's fair.
Yeah, I agree.
So pump,
with
yeah. So all right. So we'll all agree. Pump your brakes, there, kid. You know, just back up.
Slow
back
down
up,
just a little bit. I like the confidence. I appreciate the confidence. Just simmer it down just a little bit. You on 350?
Now simmer down now. Simmer down.
Bring it down to 200.
Simmer down now. Simmer down.
Simmer down now. Simmer down.
All right, guys. CP3 has been highlighting HBCUs since the
yes,
league's
sir.
Reboot. Last night, he rocked Alabama A&M sneakers. The game before, he was repping North Carolina A&T. But honestly, yeah. guys, some people have been critical of the shout-outs. One guy tweeted that he wants to support Chris, but he went to Wake Forest, and he added, please don't use HBCUs to clout chase, especially if you went to one of the whitest, most racist fan-based schools clout ever. Chase. Game on or game over to fans criticizing CP3's new HBCU initiative because he went to a PWI.
I would give you 2 seconds, 2 seconds of time, whoever is saying this. If CP3 hasn't been on this for like 4 or 5 years now, this is not new. He's been supporting HBCUs, wearing shirts, doing all types of things
sending money, well before,
you know, this year, you know, in the climate that we're in. So I can appreciate him assuming that Chris Paul is late to the party, but Chris Paul is not late to the party. So no,
well,
game
first
over.
First of all, yeah, this is ridiculous. First of all, I remember CP3 taking his teams over to Winston-Salem State and playing over there, doing special games over there. Just to bring some more attention to HBCUs, because he chose Wake Forest, that was his choice. Doesn't mean he doesn't have any love for HBCUs. I'm so pissed off and tired. I'm just over. People are looking for something. This is a case where people are looking for something to be critical about. It's nothing critical about that. I was so happy and proud being alumnus of Alabama A&M and seeing those shoes, which I'm trying to get them a pair of those shoes, on Chris Paul's feet, bringing attention to my university. Are you kidding me? Whoever the hell with this guy, whoever he is, I don't know and don't care who he is, because now you got me pissed off. Cloud chasing, he already got clout.
Right.
I mean, what the hell he cloud chased before? What the hell this guy? Anyway, I'm sorry.
This is the one thing that we ask for. I always say, if you go to a PWI, go do these things, always don't forget, do what you can, use your position, do what you can to highlight and bring any kind of notoriety, any kind of support to HBCUs, because we all are a product of HBCU somewhere along in our history and our family. This is one thing that we always ask people to do, and here this knucklehead talking about clout chasing. First of all, where'd you go to school? Whoever this is, where'd you go to school?
Then let's find out whoever it is.
I went to A&T.
Okay, how much money, how much notoriety and attention and money have you brought to A&T?
Zero.
What's pissing me off? People out on the sidelines running their mouth, talking junk, hadn't spent one dime on HBCU. But upset because other people bring attention to it. They may bring in some level of, if you will, notoriety and branding. He can, anyway.
Go off then. Good.
No, but that was just stupid.
I know. When I saw it, I was like, okay, come on. I don't care whether Chris Paul did anything previously. The fact that he did stuff previously just shows that he's not new to this party. But even if he decided, okay, right now we're bringing awareness to racial injustice and issues that affect our community. If I want to highlight HBCUs, whether I've given a dime or whether I've had any association with them before, if I'm doing this now, he should not have to face criticism because he went to Wake Forest. I just think that's lame.
People looking for stuff to be critical.
That is the weakest excuse I've seen.
It's very weak, Mac.
And I'm with you, Reese. Now I'm gonna start checking your receipts. What'd you do? What'd you do while you are popping off? What'd you do, champ?
Right, right.
Nah, son.
Exactly.
No, son.
Oh my god.
I'm with you.
What's the phrase for Tuesday? Nah, son.
I can't believe I said that. All of my New York came out just then.
Oh no, it came out and you was for real about that thing straight up.
It came out. Okay, do we have time for one more?
Yes.
All right. The NFL will fine players an amount equal to 1 week, but not to exceed 4 weeks of pay for engaging in high-risk COVID-19 conduct. Some of the high-risk activities include going to the club, unless the player is wearing PPE and there are no more than 10 people inside.
I'm just going to get some wings, though.
Attending an indoor bar, unless to pick up food, no more than 10 people, and PPE must be worn. House gatherings. Of more than 15 people, and all guests have to be wearing PPE. You guys mentioned the Cardinals are having an outbreak issue. I know y'all will talk about that later, but it may be due to some high-risk activities on the team. So, game on or game over, that the NFL's fines will be enough to deter young players from engaging in high-risk activities?
No.
Somebody's going to try it. Somebody's going to try it anyway. I'm telling you.
Stupid is and stupid does.
Well, yeah. I just did a little walkthrough. Trust me, somebody's going to try it.
What you know about a walkthrough, Reese?
Did you catch it?
Hold up. Reese, what do you know about a walkthrough?
I'm just saying, no, my cousin told me about it.
Nah, son. What? I am blown. A walkthrough?
What you know about that, Vashta? What you know about that, Vashta?
I didn't know that. Listen.
Vashta, you are all the popular day, girl. You are all the day.
Hey, look, Reese, tell her we ain't new to the game.
Clearly,
it came back. In some cases, we invented the game. You better ask somebody.
What?
Come on.
Definitely true to the game. You gotta ask somebody.
Oh my gosh. Here y'all go.
I'm curious, Vanessa. How much is the fine though? Did they say how much the fine was?
1 week of your salary. It's based on your salary for the week.
No.
So 1 week up to 4 weeks, depending on how bad egregious the offense was.
It's definitely only gonna be the newbies, because they don't realize, you know, what that really means. But right. some of the old heads, you know, 1 week of salary, you know, right around $350. Yeah, they gonna have a hard time explaining, you know, why the count short $350.
Yeah, and you got these young guys, they've never had, you know, that's maybe their first time having real money right. of their own. They yeah. may wanna right. go flodge it a little bit. There's gonna be at least one player who's gonna test those waters.
Oh, right. You got a little money in your pocket, go make it rain, you know, then
you see what I'm saying?
In the middle of a pandemic, Reese.
Get that dollar gun, baby.
I would do that, but then the dollar gun came back. I'm not saying yes, I would do that, but somebody's gonna try it. I'm not okay. 6 feet away. Anyway, Vastar, this has been unbelievable. We gotta bounce. Stay safe. Tell Teddy Bridgewater he better get a grip on things, son. All right? You tell him that, all right?
Thanks, guys.
All right, Vastar. Y'all hit the pool later, all right? I'll be looking for you.
The Undefeated Spotlight. Now, it's time for an inside look at the latest news and commentary from the Undefeated, ESPN's premier website on race, culture, and sports. This is the Undefeated Spotlight with senior editor John X. Miller.
Good morning, sir. How you
good
doing?
Good morning. Hey, I'm alive and well.
There you go.
Yes, sir. Yeah, man, you're talking about you better fix your face. How many times did your mama tell you that?
What? Yes.
When she tell you to take out the trash or something, you look at it, your boy, if you don't fix your face,
yeah, I know that's
I'm going to take you out.
That's right. I brought you in this world, I'll take you out this world. How many times she said that?
I'm telling you. You ain't have to read between the lines. She told you.
No, so, even so John, she just gave you that look.
That's right. So John, you guys got so much, man, so much to talk about, so many layers. We went in hard yesterday on the Pac-12 athletes, particular guys that had been meeting on Zoom, and then of course they came together and came out with a list of concerns and demands or interests that they have regarding the Pac-12. And I'm gonna get you just to comment on that topic, if you will.
Well, you know, we've seen what's happened with Major League Baseball, the NBA, WNBA, and now, you know, colleges, they're next up. And what the players are doing out of the Pac-10, I think, is going to be the vanguard of what happens with college athletes across the country. And so what's happening with the Pac-10, excuse me, the Pac-12, it used to be the Pac-10. Anyway, what's happening with the Pac-12 is these athletes, about 200 to 300 of these athletes have been on Zoom, have been doing calls for the last month or so saying that they don't want to be at the whim of what's happening at the universities because of the COVID epidemic, and also because of Black Lives Matter, and all these things are intersecting. And so there are two or three athletes, a couple of football players from Cal and a distance runner from Washington State, who've come together and they form this Players Alliance. And essentially what they are talking about is, at the end of the day, it's about money and it's about athletes getting paid, right? Because that existed before the pandemic and before, you know, the Black Lives Matter disruption. And so what they're talking about is making sure that the schools and the conferences make sure that the athletes are healthy and stay healthy if they try to play ball this fall. Secondly, they want to make sure that the athletes, not just revenue athletes from revenue sports like football and basketball, all athletes are compensated for their time and for their effort beyond scholarships. And they also want to make sure that the players have a voice in what happens at these universities as they move forward. Because as we know, often these athletes come to these universities, you know, back home, they got issues, you know, financial issues, health issues, community issues, and they want those issues to be addressed while these players are on campus. So like I said, they've got about 400 athletes now across the Pac-12, not just football and basketball, but other sports as well. And they're saying, you know, we need to have our voice recognized, because if you haven't seen this, most of the decisions, particularly with the Power Five and Power Six conferences, about how the athletes are going to be, you know, brought back to campus or whatever, their voices haven't been in the conversation. It's basically been the administrators, the coaches, and the universities deciding what's going to happen with these kids. And they're saying, you know, we're not going to stand for it, because this is our lives, right? Whether we play ball for you or not, you know, we got to go back home and we got to live our lives beyond school. And so they don't know what the implications of COVID-19 is going to be. You know, we don't know what the implications are going to be health-wise down the road, next year, 10 years from now. And they want to make sure that they have a sense of what might happen, but also have a say in what might happen. So Bomani Jones did a piece for us that's on the site, and it's really in-depth, talks to a lot of athletes, and talks to the whole combination of issues, COVID-19, Black Lives Matter, and this idea that the NCAA needs to pay these players in some way, compensate them beyond what they're compensating them for now.
Outstanding. We're talking with John X. Miller from The Undefeated on The Undefeated Spotlight, the same as we do each and every week right here on The Sports Shop. And John, you know, coming off of that story about the Pac-12 and they're talking about the money, just real briefly, though, the one thing about the thing the players said, they specifically said, we want you to give us 2% of the revenue. And that just seems to be the one thing that stuck out to quite a few people. Is like, oh, okay, well, that'll never happen. Why do you guys talk about that at all in the article? Like, why does that seem to be such a far-fetched idea that you would set aside money for some of these issues?
Well, no, that was mentioned, but that wasn't addressed. But I think, you know, there needs to be a way. 2% is not, you know, 2% of $2 billion, right, is a lot of money. And that money, when it's put in places that can be held in abeyance for the athletes, meaning they can be put in trust funds, right? You know, some of the athletes are saying, you know, after I finish my collegiate career, I've dedicated 5 or 6 years to playing ball or doing whatever for the university. You know, I need some kind of compensation beyond the scholarship because the time and money that I put in. I mean, I think the number that they equated was that, you know, for a football player, for their compensation for 4 years playing at a Power Five university, that they should have a salary of over $1 million in addition to the scholarship, based upon the metrics of the sport. And so if they're going to be honest about what they're doing, and I think the universities and administrators and NCAA are going to be honest about what they're doing, then this is going to be a reckoning this season, right? Because the athletes now have a voice. They understand they have a voice, and they're not going to let this opportunity slip away. And so the NCAA needs to figure out a way. The universities have to figure out a way to help compensate these athletes beyond their playing days, because that's a part of the whole idea of equity, right?
Yep.
Because, you know, people say, well, they're getting a scholarship, but they put in more time than that scholarship, right? They put in more time and effort, blood, sweat, and tears than just that scholarship. And so I think it's important to understand that if there's going to be equity, part of that equity has to be determined by, you know, financial compensation for the athletes.
Wow.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Yeah, exactly. We talk to John S. Miller. We rob him each and every Tuesday, same place, same time. John is the senior editor of The Undefeated. And John, the next story I want to jump on is, this is a guy that we give a hard time often on this show. We, matter of fact, the hotline down in the bubble, the snitch line we call it the Chris Paul line. You know what I'm saying? but to be fair, to be really fair, just read his article, how instrumental he was kind of running point on trying to get the NBA ready for the bubble, of course, during the pandemic. Talk about that, how important and how much leadership he displayed, if you will, during that period.
Well, you know, Chris, he's a homie, right? He's from from Winston-Salem. So, and so his roots are in the community. He understands that, you know, beyond ball, he's got to be able to sustain his community. And so one of the things that he's at the forefront of is the Players Association. He is the president of the NBA Players Association. So along with him, Michelle Roberts, the executive director of the Players Association, and Andre Iguodala, they came together several months ago to figure out and to start conversations about how to make this thing happen. Not only to get the ball players playing again, but to also to make sure that there's social justice issues and social justice concerns are brought to the fore and are put in front of the league for the league to address. And so the league has done a tremendous amount of work based upon what Paul and others have instigated, whether it's he came up with the idea of putting messages on the back of jerseys, right? That was his idea. Hmm. You know, he's also started a fund called the Social Justice Fund with Carmelo Anthony and Dwayne Wade, you know, to make sure that he individually leads an effort to put his money where his mouth is. And then the other thing that the league committed to, and this is beyond the bubble, is that they've committed to $30 million a year for an NBA fund to help social justice issues in the communities that the players come from. And that's already on top of the things that they've done before. And so what Paul has done, and it's reflected in his playing, right? You know, the Oklahoma City Thunder is going to make the playoffs, right?
Yep.
You know, he helped turn that team around through his leadership at point guard, but also as an experienced leader and a player. And so he's done some things that probably nobody else could have done on and off the court because he's so well respected and he's been in the league long enough. And he also has his heart in the community, right? We see that in Winston-Salem. We see that at North Carolina A&T, the kinds of things that he's instigating there. He's going to do a docuseries that's coming out this fall on HBCUs. And so the whole idea that he's committed, he's done that, he's been doing it, and is going to continue to do it. And so even though, you know, he is not without fault, like all of us, right, he's doing the kinds of things that are trying to better the lives of the people around him. And that's the most important thing, right? Because if it wasn't for his leadership, there would be no NBA bubble. There would be no Black Lives Matter jerseys. I mean, names on jerseys. And there might not be ball this, what we're looking at right now. So he should be commended.
So that's interesting. Let me jump in right quick, Kim, man. I'll let you go next. It's interesting because maybe you can answer this question. We had an interesting conversation with Vest, I heard recently in last hour. And she mentioned some idiot, and I call him an idiot. I don't know who he is, but this is me. I was tweeting about, you know, Chris Paul is branding showcasing HBCUs vis-a-vis wearing sneakers with their logo on and name on them. I was so excited and proud. He had Alabama A&M sneakers on yesterday in the game. And some person said that, just trying to throw shade as saying that Chris Paul is trying to get that street cred, HBCU street cred, or clout chase because of wearing those shoes, and he's really not doing anything for the community. Talk to that, because you just said a little bit about how stupid that statement was that it got made.
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, ignorance is not bliss, right? And so, you know, if you just do a Google search on Chris Paul and the kinds of things that he's done in Winston, the kinds of things he's doing at North Carolina A&T, the kinds of things that he said over the last, you know, decade, you know, and trying to go back into Forsyth County, trying to go into campus on North Carolina A&T. You know, we've also had stories on the Undefeated about what he's doing at A&T. He's starting a master class at A&T in combination with Harvard University to help, you know, prepare HBCU students to be able to navigate in a world, in a very different world than they exist in now. And so all it takes is, you know, 10 minutes, 5 minutes of a little work on Google, and you can see the kind of work that he's been doing. And so, you know, I think sometimes, you know, people, you know, try to take shots because they have some underlying issue, right? Without, you know, really looking at the truth of the matter. And so the truth is out there. And so the fact that he's repping Alabama State, he's been repping North Carolina A&T and Winston-Salem State for years. I mean, his parents went to Winston-Salem State. Every time you have a conversation about his roots, he's going to mention Winston-Salem State and the roots of his parents at that campus and how he grew up in Winston-Salem on that campus and understanding the value of HBCUs.
Awesome. I appreciate that. Thank you for answering that question.
Yeah, so we're talking with John X. Miller from the Undefeated on the Undefeated Spotlight. And John, you guys are talking about something that I'm very familiar with, this Last Chance U. Last Chance U, which was done in the first couple of seasons at East Mississippi Junior College, College. Yeah. I know exactly where that is. And then they shifted to, I think, a school in Kansas. I can't remember this Kansas. And now they're going to Oakland, California. Last Chance U. So talk about that a little bit in the shift and you know, where they're trying to go with this.
Well, you know, one of the reasons they're making the shift is because this is the last season of Last Chance U football. Next year they're shifting to basketball, right? And so they wanted to come. So it's the last season of football. They're going to basketball, and the producers, they wanted a different experience, right? And so they chose Oakland, California, because, you know, this Laney Junior College and its coach has put, you know, 20-plus football players into the league. I think the number of players who've gotten D1 scholarships are like 200. And so this is a junior college that gets young athletes out of Oakland, out of, you know, out of Northern California and other parts of California into college and out of their circumstances. And so they wanted to try Northern California. And so this is a different experience. And and pretty much the idea that, you know, this is a last chance for these players. And the show just debuted, debuted a couple of weeks ago. But it's a new story, but with the same kind of content, which is athletes making the best of their circumstances. And their circumstances are just very different coming from Oakland. And a part of that, they wanted to tell a different story about gentrification, right? They wanted to tell the story of how Oakland has changed over the years. And now some of the athletes who go to Laney, you know, who used to live like a few blocks from Laney, now have to live an hour and a half away because the cost of housing in and around Oakland and in and around that college has escalated so much in the last 10 years. So they wanted to tell a story about, this is a different story about their circumstances, a good football story, a great football story, and how athletes can overcome their circumstances, but how the circumstances look very different from the days where they did Last Chance U in Mississippi and in other parts of the country. And so it's the same kind of story, but in ways it's a different iteration of it, because we know that Oakland is a different situation than in Mississippi and in Alabama.
Yep. All right, man. Well, good stuff, John. We're up against it. Again, this is John S. Miller. You can go and read everything we talked about on the undefeated.com. It's a great read. And, John, we appreciate you, man, giving us the knowledge each and every Tuesday, as you always do, brother. You have a good rest of the week.
All right, I appreciate y'all now. Y'all be safe. Take care. Stay masked up.
Take care. Appreciate it. Yep, there you go.
All right, take care now. Bye.
You've been listening to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac. Don't forget, you can download this podcast every weekday at WRALSportsFan.com, on our new WRAL Sports Fan app, and in the iTunes Store.